Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio. I'm in the studio. Bulldog's at home. I don't know where Sal is. Could be home, could be Australia, could be in his car. You never know. I'm watching baseball. Sal and I texted a little baseball on Monday as he and I both watched the end of A's-Yankees, where the A's, who are just like a joke, they have a closer, Mason Miller, who hits like, I don't know, Sal, like 103, 104? What does this guy hit? Like he just... Yep. You might have seen it too, Bulldog. He goes in ninth inning, protecting a lead, and blows away Soto and Judge. Pretty good.
Yep.
So I've got the.
I can't wait to see who they trade him for.
I did watch it.
You can't wait to see who they trade him for.
You're exactly right. You know what I kept thinking was, this is exactly the guy the Yankees need. They should just go trade for him. Oh, my God.
I think
he was blowing these guys away. It was amazing.
Any minute, they'll be sending a low-A prospect to Oakland for Mason Miller. So, Mets and Giants in the second. I don't think there's any score. Now you know that. All right, Sal. So, I'm just, you know, anxious, thinking about random things when not obsessing about the draft tomorrow night. What is your latest guess or, you know, insight-driven analysis here? What you think will happen tomorrow? So much talk about wide receiver. More talk about trading up of late. Where are your chips here when it comes to the Bills?
First of all, let me say I am in Studio Capaccio, which has become basically my war room for the last little while here. I've kind of been, you know, getting everything put together here. I have my first mock, my only mock. I do one mock every year, generally. I think might have done two a year or two ago. I have one mock draft that I post, no trades. That's up at WGR550.com. I would say that I agree with you, Mike. I have not moved off a lot of what I've said. What I'm going to say about what I think the Bills are going to do sounds a lot like what I've said about what the Bills are going to do for the last several months, quite frankly. And actually, over the last half hour, I've been thinking about that, which is, boy, I can't remember really. I guess I could say 2 years ago, actually, with Corner. Corner was like this 2 years ago, if you remember, with the Kyrie Elam pick. But very rarely do we have a year where, for really the whole offseason, it's this is the spot they're going to draft. Not that they should, that they're going to. Like, we are kind of seeing it happen, unfold before our eyes. And on top of that, very rarely do you get this kind of universal consensus from fans and media, local and national, of what they're going to do, which is draft a wide receiver. I think at this point, I would just be stunned if it's any other position. And I still believe, as I've said for months, that they would probably have an appetite to even move up to do it.
You know, if I can just jump in here and add to that, I think one thing about this year's projections that has been, I would say, unusual for a team, it's always the Bills we're focused on, of course, picking so late that you see the same two or three names pretty much everywhere, which, you know, maybe that wasn't true last year or even the Elam year. Like, even when you think you know a position, but that sort of confidence in position, you know, need for the Bills, plus the number of potential candidates there, you know, you might think still it would be lots of different names. Certainly, we've talked about lots of different names, but it's kind of like, I feel like 70% of the time I open a mock draft, it's A.D. Mitchell to the Bills. So, I don't know, like a lot of sameness for a team picking so late. They're not picking third here where you would see the same two or three names only.
Agreed. I would say in that draft, that 2022 draft where they picked Kyrie Elam, it was, I think they really liked Trent McDuffie. We know what happened. The Chiefs took him at 21. If you guys remember, Kyler Gordon was a really big name that year. Andrew Booth Jr., remember him from Clemson? Like, those were the guys. I think Roger McCreary was in there, now that I pull up the list a little bit here and look at those names. But you're right. I mean, it was kind of that group. It feels like the same thing here with wide receiver. I agree, Mike, which is and that speaks to the depth of the position, right? I mean, like, you get to 28, it's not like, boy, if they don't get one of these top four, I don't know what they're going to do. It's, if they don't get one of the top four, they still have a lot of guys to choose from, and maybe even trade down and still have a bunch of these guys to choose from. That's what makes, you know, this group and this draft a little bit more unique, considering they're picking at 28. Now, when I say universal consensus, of course there are people who believe they should not draft a wide receiver. I've heard from them today. There are people who believe that they won't do that. I've seen mock drafts. I just saw one today that's had them taking Johnny Newton, a defensive lineman. I've seen mock drafts and heard from people who say they should draft Cooper DeJean because they need an all-encompassing defensive back like him. While I respect those players, I just don't see it. I think this is laser-focused at wide receiver. It has been ever since we have heard from the very first postseason press conference, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talk about player acquisition is going to be focused on explosive plays and dynamic ability and guys who can do things with the ball in their hands.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Sal, I thought back in January, I don't know when Mike and I made this bet about what their first round pick would be, offense or defense, but I know it was a while ago. I felt receiver for the whole time. What amped it up for me was when the Diggs trade happened. I feel like I'm looking at Brandon Bean, and we've been here for every one of his picks that he's made, and does that guy running a team strike you as someone who's going to sit back and just see what falls to him after creating a pretty significant hole on his roster? And I know that, you know, that Curtis Samuel and Mac Hollins, and I know how Bean sounds, that to me is all just cover for, like, the news conference Thursday night after they make this pick, whenever it is, however early or late it is, I can hear him saying, like, yeah, I knew I had to replace Stephon Diggs, guys. Like, I had to replace Stephon, yeah, and Gabe Davis for that matter. So, like, everything, the world opened up to me after the Diggs trade. Like, I could see them going, yep, crazy big. I could see them going moderate. I could see them trading for a veteran, whatever it is. All that stuff, it got even more attention and more realistic after the Diggs trade.
Yeah, you make the right point, too, which is they actively made themselves worse by trading Stephon Diggs.
Right.
And the GM said, we're not as good of a team today. But it's a long off season, and we have time. I think that's his way of saying, like, I know what I'm doing. I'm doing this because I have a plan. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see how anything with that plan can be anything but I'm going to acquire a guy, you know, in the NFL draft in the first round. They lost Gabe Davis. They did sign Curtis Samuel, and that's fine. So I know they're different players, but even if you say, okay, that's a wash, you know, a number two, and they're different types of players, then they took their number one receiver and went, oh, we're going to trade him away. When they already were looking at probably having to replenish the position in some way, especially near the top of the depth chart. So, yeah, I just have felt for so long that this has been the direction they're going to go. And I think, you know, to me, the only question really has been, and it still is, do they trade up to do it? Do they trade down to do it? Do they stay put? Who's going to be on the board? And I think those are things that there's no doubt there's a lot of great debate that can come along with it.
Yes, it's been really fun. Trading up to get one of the big three, the so-called big three receivers, maybe you have to get to 9 with the Bears. Maybe you have to get even higher. I know you have a friend in Chicago, Chris Emma, who's been on our show and was on with mm-hmm. you recently. Let's just start from the top here. Is that something you think the Bills would, like, really be trying to do to get to Odunze or Neighbors? Or is that more just something that's not out of the realm of possibility, but, you know, we're not expecting it?
Well, I think they'd make calls. I agree with what Brandon Bean said to us in the press conference last week, which is, I'm not going to get calls from teams in the top 10. He said, there's no rule that says I can't make the call, because it was in response. He wasn't like openly saying that. It was more of a response to a question when he said, well, there's no rule that I can't call anybody. He says, think they'll take my call? And I think that's him going, yeah, it's unlikely that I'll even get a chance to do that, even if I wanted to. But I do think he might make a call, to be quite honest. Let's see. You never know what a team says. Maybe a team surprises you and gives you a kind of deal that you really think you're willing to swallow and be able to do it. You know, I think that the conventional wisdom as of late has been trade up into the mid-teens or early 20s and get Brian Thomas Jr. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've seen, and we had on today on the Extra Point Show, Ryan Wilson of CBSSports.com. He has Brian Thomas Jr. falling to 28 to the Bills. You know who else does? I don't know if you saw this today. Charles Davis last mock today just came out. He has Brian Thomas Jr. falling all the way to 28 for the Bills. So if you want to kind of go up to get him, that's fine. And maybe you have to do it because you want to make sure you secure him. But you could also just kind of wait there. As far as the other guys, yeah, I think Odunze would be the dream scenario for Brandon Bean. But, man, I think you gotta see him get past 10 really for them to have a realistic shot.
The Thomas falling thing, Sal, do you know, do you suspect it's in direct relation to the news about an AC joint injury?
It's a good question. I don't know. It could very well be. We have a lot of information coming out of a lot of these guys now this week, right? Look at the things that have been talked about with Mitchell, AD Mitchell as well, and why his stock could be dropping because of that. We're going to start getting a lot of this stuff over the next even 24 hours. I think you'll be hearing things. So that could very well be it. I asked Ryan Wilson today, though, about it. Why did you have him falling? And he just kind of went through the board and said it just, there were spots there where a team could take him, but they opted in another direction. And that could very well happen here. Look, for the Bills to go up that high, I'm actually working on a piece now. I'll have up later tonight and tomorrow for everybody to read tomorrow morning, definitely, which is where are the spots? Where are the sweet spots the Bills could actually trade to that I could see a team in that spot saying, we'll do this, and I'll give a reason for that, and also what it would cost the Bills. So I have, for example, and I'll just give you a tease, for example, right? Like, you don't have to give up next year's first to move up, even if you want to go to 19, let's say, with the Rams. And I know this because, at least based on past history, I've looked at other drafts. I've looked at other trades. A team that's gone up from late 20s to about 19-20 doesn't always have to give up next year's one, but you're still going to have to pay a pretty price. Now, once you get to about the mid-teens, 16, something like that, then you're probably talking next year's one. You're going to have to do it. But if you told Brandon Bean right now that if he could make a move to get to 19 or 20, not give up next year's first, I don't know. That might be enticing for him to secure the guy that he wants.
With Sal Capaccio, here's what I've heard on Brian Thomas Jr., and I'm getting this from Scott Smith of 4for4, who was on the Establish the Run mock draft podcast. He talked about even having had this labrum injury that Thomas reportedly might be dealing with. He said that the injury goes back into the regular season at LSU and that he played through it. And one of the other panelists, one of whom was Evan Silva, who was on our show last week, said, well, I wonder why he just hasn't had the surgery yet. Like, if he has the injury, why isn't he, dealing with it? So it's a little bit mysterious because it might be the kind of injury that would affect his rookie season if it's legit. And that would play into whether the Bills would want him, right? I mean, the Bills are looking for somebody to start.
Yeah,
and this could be relevant to them, but that's just I'm just sourcing that because none of that is from me, like knowing firsthand. If not Thomas, and you mentioned Mitchell too here, Sal. It's interesting how, and this is not that rare, but you have sort of like this late buzz, which can work for a guy or against a guy. There's a whole lot to be said about where this information comes from, agents or other teams even planting stuff. I don't know. I don't want to try too hard here, but. Like, if the Bills were not to trade up, couldn't they do all right? Like, especially if those two players happen to be sort of in a negative light at this point.
Yeah. So, my mock, I have at WGR550.com, I have Xavier Worthy. And I give a detailed explanation of why I have Xavier Worthy. But in that explanation, I also say, look, I mean, whether Xavier Worthy, and in the mock I have, by the way, those three, and Brian Thomas is gone, right? He's already been drafted. He goes 20 in my mock to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I even write, hey, look, you want Xavier Legette? You can get him. You want Ladd McConkey? You can get him. Now, we can debate if you should take him there or if you want to trade down. You want Ricky Pearsall later? You can get him. There's still all these really nice players. You want A.D. Mitchell? Of course. I mean, that would be maybe the two guys you'd kind of debate. Even Ladd, I think. Ladd, you'd debate right here. But I have Xavier Worthy because I just, every time I do this, guys, I keep thinking, and you know, we've talked about this so much that I might be even sounding like just kind of repeating myself. But I just keep hearing Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talk about explosiveness and talk about rack, explosiveness. And then I hear Sean McDermott at the owners' meetings talk about the way defenses have changed and how defenses are playing everybody and saying, yeah, you can't really go over the top. Now, if you can, that'd be great. And you can still take your shots. But, man, get the ball to playmakers who can make a guy miss and then you get a 20-yard play out of it. You can break something. That's this guy, man. Like, he does that. The concern, right, is he's small. He's 165 pounds.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, look at Devontae Smith. He's 170 and he had 90 catches last year, 2 years ago. He had 70 last year. And on top of that, the rules are obviously where you're not taking a beating at that position anymore. He has had, you know, you go look at Xavier Worthy's workload at Texas. He had a healthy workload.
Yep.
Right? I mean, yeah, he was not a guy they shied away from giving the ball in all situations. And the thing that tilts it over the top for me with him is he's a punt returner. He might be the best punt returner in the country, by the way. So even if he can't get on the field right away or all that much, you can use your first-round pick, and that's valuable to teams. So that's why I have him. But certainly if somebody said, I like Ladd McConkey more, I totally understand that. There is a really good, healthy group there if you get to 28 and those first four are gone.
What's interesting to me about how it sounds recently is like people like Miami for Worthy with his speed, like just sort of doubling down on their offense. Theo Greminger, who I had on my Deep End podcast last night, like he's not getting past Miami. Okay. And those teams from Indianapolis to Miami, you could look at, I've been saying this for 2 months. You could look at any of them either way. Could they justify a receiver in a receiver rich first round? Yes. Indianapolis, definitely. Maybe not Seattle. Jacksonville, Cincinnati with Higgins, the Rams with their age, and Pittsburgh, of course, has room. And then the Dolphins. But none of those teams has to do it either. Like, they all have other needs, and, you know, people love offensive tackle in this draft. Maybe they would all pick tackles. You know, there's also that argument. So, especially with it being the Dolphins, I wonder if the Bills would think, if they really want Worthy, that Miami is the team to beat.
Yeah.
And then you got to get to 20 or higher if that's right.
Yeah, I really wonder about that. Like, the idea of that guy with that speed added to that offense is maybe a little terrifying. And this idea, the Worthy idea, Sal, that you just presented, has grown on me as this has all gone
me
on.
Me too.
Like, I've been more focused on bigger guys. You know, just because, you know, Davis was such a big body and a willing blocker, and I would expect them to want some size on the field instead of a bunch of guys that are all barely 6 feet tall. But the speed factor with Worthy, I mean, you know, circling all the way back to after they lost the championship game in 2020, speed, yep, speed, speed, and the Bills have never really had that guy. The idea of this guy on the field, yes, doing what you're describing, run after catch, turning, you know, short passes into long gains and explosiveness, excellent. Man, just the idea of teams having to respect that speed and opening things up for the other guys on this offense, Kincaid especially, Samuel, James Cook. Man, the Worthy, you do not have to work hard to get me on this idea, even if I got to move up above Miami to do it.
Yeah, I love it. I love the way you think, too, because there is still something to be said for taking someone, taking the top off the defense, even given all those things that we said. And I think the Bills recognize that. And to your point of what you said after the Chiefs game a few years ago and the speed, and the Bills have talked like that, right? They've talked about it a lot. Remember the quote Brandon Bean said a few years ago? Like, yeah, I'd love to have a guy like Tyreek Hill. How do you get him, right? Like, it's just
right.
And then Tyreek Hill actually did get traded that offseason, by the way, to the Miami Dolphins. You know, but I think they also recognize this. You're talking about, you know, guys and where they could go. It's interesting. I don't see Miami taking a receiver. I think they're more offensive line focused or defensive focused.
Mm-hmm.
That would be there. But there are teams, I think, that could surprise you taking a receiver. And there are teams, I think, that kind of need one. Indy's right there. I think Pittsburgh. You know, people have said Brian Thomas Jr. reminds them of George Pickens, right? A guy like that. And that's, you know, you think about what Pittsburgh has had. Jacksonville could be a really interesting team after their offseason and losing Calvin Ridley. Is that a team that wants a receiver? So that's what Brandon Bean has to balance here about the move-up stuff, which is it's not just about, you know, going up to secure your guy. It's, you know, making sure that you kind of have the board read right and they're going through these exercises of whom else might want to either be there and take them or move up to get there to take them.
Name of the game. Seattle, the one team in that pack that would not pick a receiver, almost definitely. They also have a history of trading down. I kind of think for Seattle, just to plant this seed, again, this is also something I've heard, but maybe the quarterbacks, Nix and Penix, will be interesting to Seattle. History with the Washington coach in Seattle. Maybe if Penix were to, you know, not go to the Raiders, say, and then maybe that's something they would do at 16, which is not really expected, or the trade down maybe they think would be good enough. I don't know. But they would be a team I would want to watch if for Bills fans who are, you know, trade up minded here going into tomorrow. Sal, we will, of course, talk tomorrow too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, real quick, I have them. There's only about four teams I've really kind of identified where maybe the Bills would target. They're one of them. And you said it too. They're never shy about trading. And that would be a team. And they also, by the way, the Seahawks, they don't pick again until the third round. They don't have a second rounder. They don't pick until 81. That's an interesting team, I agree.
Yeah, that would make sense for them then, especially. Okay, yep. One more sleep. Thank you, Sal.
Hey, you got it, guys.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Your kids ever do it like that? How many sleeps?
One more sleep.
Till Christmas, till school's over.
Yeah, vacation. Yeah, 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 for sure.
That's how my wife counts.
Yeah.
How many more sleeps?
One more sleep.
Yeah. Until the draft. One more sleep.
For us, the very first big trip we took with the kids when they were, you know, I don't know, maybe 6 and 4. I remember Owen, that was one of these get up at 4 in the morning, get on the road by 5 for Ocean City, Maryland deals. And Owen declared as soon as he got out of bed, "I feel all jiggly." He's all excited about going on the trip. For us, "I feel all jiggly" is a go-to.
Are we feeling jiggly right now?
Yes.
The draft is coming soon. 803-0550, right back to your calls, if we get them, after the update. 5 o'clock, Chris Trapasso, his latest draft analysis here on the eve of the first round. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.